Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are trying to reach Teresa Tamp right now, and we have not been successful at the time. So as soon as she is available, then we will be putting her on the line. So in the interim, what we will do is open up our telephone lines, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me during the hour, give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I wanted to start out with a thought. And I don't know about you, but periodically I get down in the doldrums. And when that happens to me, I find that my mind often goes off on tangents. Has that ever occurred with you? Maybe you've heard something or you've read something or someone says something to you and you find that your moods just shift. They just go into that odd space. It isn't typically who you are. And you just want to withdraw. You start finding your mind going into flips about how everything is wrong, nothing's working right. Have you ever been there? Boy, I have. Well, I came across this particular story, and I really, really liked it because I thought it brings into positioning how we think really affects us on so many levels. There's this old story. It is something that takes place centuries ago when a map maker who is laying out maps would run out of the known world before he would run out of parchment. Now stop and think of that. The world as he knew it would just only fill a certain amount of the large pieces of paper. He never would run out of space. And because of this, he'd often sketch a dragon at the edge of the scroll. These were scrolls. Now this was intended to be a sign to the explorer that he was entering unknown territory at his own risk. Now, many people, supposedly adventuresome souls, when they would look at these maps, did not perceive the dragon as a map maker's warning sign, but rather as a prophecy. Now, what happened is they went into a shift in their thinking. They foresaw disaster and doom beyond the known worlds that were on the map. Some of them even believed they'd fall off the edge of the world. The fears that they had kept them from pushing on to discover new lands and people. Now, there were some other explorers, adventuresome souls. Whenever they'd see that dragon, to them it represented opportunity. It was a doorway to a new territory worth exploring. And I think we need to keep in mind that we have our own sort of maps. And every day when we go into our adventures of whatever might be going on in our lives, we have to explore what we know and perhaps explore what we don't know. And we all have our own particular map edges in our minds. And they can be marked by dragons. And we can fear those edges, or we can look at them as opportunity. Now, sometimes maybe we've gone through stuff that really stinks. And in going through that, then we continue that association. To be able to live life with richness, we need to be aware we can be adventurers of our own kind. It means that we can reach out for new ideas, new opportunities, new scopes. We are meant to be explorers. We're meant to be adventurers. And it is something sometimes when we get so accustomed to wearing our mental cap of fear, or we allow the mental caps of fear that other people are wearing to be put on our heads. And so we have to decide, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go with our thinking? How are we going to handle things? All of this is so important because it means that we not only have to be mindfully present with where we are, but we also need to recognize that we can expand our own world. And I have such good fortune in being able to read the stories about so many different people and the various challenges they've gone through. And today there were some circumstances that I became aware of, and I was watching my own mind, and I was watching my response patterning to these various things that I was becoming aware of. And I thought, we really have to take a positioning of personal responsibility about where we're going to keep our minds. All of us are going to have days that are going to be loaded with thinking. And that's okay. Just remember, you don't have to stay there. All of us can go through depression, or we can feel frustrated, sometimes like failures, because maybe we didn't do what we think we should have done, or somebody disappointed us. There's all kinds of things that go on. So it's so important for us to be aware that we have a choice of taking opportunity when it does knock at our door and shaking it by the hand and saying, gee, I'm glad you stopped by, and find out what the opportunity is. And before you make a judgment of turning away from it, explore it and say, how can I turn this around? If this is an opportunity for me, though I may not be able to see how to utilize it at this time, how can I utilize it? What can I do? And sometimes it means just taking time to be by yourself. Maybe you've gotten so overwhelmed with what you've watched on television or up with other people's opinions, you just need to have some breathing space. So get on your walking shoes and get out and move. If where you are, the weather isn't so good, get on your treadmill. Don't be afraid, or go to a local mall. But do something that's going to shift you physically. You need to look at how you want to take control of who you are and what you're doing, and how you're responding to the challenges that may be presenting themselves. Doesn't mean they're good or bad. It just means it's life, and life is full of challenges. But it's amazing how this, as Poirot would say, the little gray cells in the head. You may not want to feed them fish, but you may need to feed them some mental nutrition that's going to enable those gray cells to shift their thinking pattern and direction. It really does make a difference. Well, we haven't been able to reach Teresa. We're hoping that everything's okay with her. But anyway, phone lines are going to be open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Give me a buzz, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Donna Sebo here. Also, I wanted to say that I am going, for those of you listening in Western Washington, I'm going to be doing a special appearance on November 21st at the King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma. This is a wonderful event called the Dickens Festival. You can find out more about it by going to dickensfestival.net, and you'll be able to get all the details about the wonderful activities that are going to be going on. But this is a family event. This is their fifth year. And I'm so pleased to have been invited back again to participate in this. I'm going to be doing many consultations at King's from 11 until 4. So you'll be able to come on down and meet me in person. And, of course, I'll be in costume just like all the other people that are going to be working at the festival. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And part of the proceeds will be going towards the charity that the group that is putting this event together has designated for this year. So we invite you to join us at the Dickens Festival on November the 21st and go to dickensfestival.net to find out more information. The unusual, the bizarre. There are so many things in life we just don't have explanations for. And there's something called spontaneous combustion, and I'm sure you've heard about it. And nobody's been able really to explain it. How can someone or some item sitting in a particular space that's surrounded by all kinds of stuff just totally burn to a crisp and not affect anything else? Well, it's a mystery. And again, no one has found the answer. In December of 1941, in Windsor, Ontario, the Dominion Golf and Country Club had some real weird things going on. They truly were bizarre. There was a customer who attempted to retrieve his coat out of a closet and yelled that about a piece of paper bursting into flames. Well, the club's owner and manager, whose name was Nicholas White, grabbed a fire extinguisher, dashed towards the fire, only to find a tablecloth burst into flame right in front of him as he was getting, you know, on his way to put out this other little fire. Well, every dining room table was covered. They all went poof. Blue flames were coming up on every single one of them. Now, the waiters that were there, everybody that was watching this, they couldn't believe it. They were dousing the flames with water that was in pitchers that were nearby. Then a rag that was up on a bar caught fire. They got people yelling from the kitchen saying the towels in the kitchen were on the fire. And then White, he decided he needed to call the fire department. When he goes to get the phone book, the phone book was in his desk drawer. He pulls open the drawer, boom, flames come out of the drawer. Now, in this building, there was an apartment that was in the upstairs area. There was a woman by the name of Mrs. White. She found her bedroom curtains catching on fire. There actually were 11 rooms upstairs in this building that had the Golf and Country Club. And flames broke out in 7 of the 11 rooms. All total, really, it's 43 fires that had happened. Just these bits of spontaneous combustion. Now, the fire marshal came out and an insurance adjuster. They were checking this out. And the insurance man, listening to the stories of the people that had witnessed these things, just said, oh, my goodness, you want me to believe that the tables, the rag on the bar, the telephone book in your desk, and then the 11 rooms up there, this just burst into flame? And he didn't believe it. And he said, for example, that broom over there, would burst into flame, and the moment that he said that, the broom burst into flames. A little spooky, huh? Well, in 1951, in Indiana, apparently Travelers Insurance Company reported a rash of unexplainable fires in a private house. This is what happened in this home. Flames erupted from between, get this, from between a box spring and a mattress, from a calendar, and from a pair of overalls that were hanging on a door. Also, the pages of a book were found burning inside a smoking drawer, although the book cover itself was not affected. By nighttime, 28 fires, individual fires, had occurred in this home. It makes you think you need a lot of fire extinguishers in that house. what in the world could have caused that kind of spontaneous combustion? I don't have a clue. Do you? I'd love to hear your theory. This is Donna Siebel. Apparently, there's an emergency that has come up with Teresa, and she has not been able to make the show today. The telephone number to call into, since the telephone lines are open, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, what I wanted to do was also let you know about my guests that are coming up next week. Oh, we have such a fun grouping of programs. We have bargain junkie Annie Corzin. She's going to be on Tuesday, excuse me. Monday, we're going to have Leo Pearlstein. We're going to be talking turkey. Leo has been a guest on my shows for a number of years now, especially during the holiday season, because he has some of the best recipes. And he and an associate have put out a cookbook, and we just talk turkey because that has been his business for a long, long time. So we'll have a good time on Monday talking about turkey and recipes for the upcoming holiday season. And then Annie Corzin, the bargain junkie, oh, she is so much fun. She's going to be on with me on Tuesday. And then we're going to be talking with Harvey Duschendorf, and his book is The Other Kind of Smart. And, whoops, I'm wrong. Oh, I made a mistake. Teresa's on next week. I goofed. I came in a week ahead. I was looking at the wrong week. I am in a real panic. Well, that was my group. So anyway, we will be talking with, I'm going to be giving a call to Miles Schneider, and we'll be talking to him perhaps shortly, and we will be figuring out what Donna did today because Donna was a week ahead. So I goofed. This is Donna Siebel, and we're going to take a break for just a minute. If Don can get to the phone and just take a break for right now, that will be absolutely wonderful, and we'll take care of clearing up the mistake that I have made today. This is Donna Siebel. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Okay, let's move along. We were talking with someone not too long ago about Machu Picchu and the places that were found in South America. Now, this is a place that for many, many archaeologists is like a jigsaw puzzle. Why? Because this was built, they think, in the 1400s. We're not sure. They honestly do not know. But when you look at the picture of the wall, the stones are irregular, yet they fit together perfectly. To the best of their knowledge, the people only use stone hammers and persistence. And they absolutely do not know how they have been able to stay in place for all this time with just a hair's breadth. If there's any hair's breadth space between them, you can't get a piece of paper between it. How has it been able to stand so strong and so true all of this time? And this is in an area that gets a lot of earthquakes. There are so many things we don't know about, we don't understand, and many times we're not aware of the fact that there are ancient peoples that had technologies that we know nothing about and have no clue about. And I really think that there is so much more in life that we are going to be discovering. And as archaeologists do more and more research, they are going to find, as they're able to sift past sands in deserts, and do more underwater exploration, that there's even greater mysteries that are going to be discovered and that are going to empower us as people. So this is an exciting time to be alive. This is an exciting time for us to be able to recognize that we have so many adventures yet to experience, so many wonderful things yet to explore. Now, by the way, I did make a mistake today. We're going to be calling Mr. Miles Schneider when we go on break, and we're going to be talking about to be or not to be healthy. Don't ask me how I got things turned around, but I did. I looked at the wrong thing on my calendar. So we're going to be talking with Miles. We'll be giving him a call in a little bit. And I'm sorry for the confusion, but we will get that all straightened out. Don't you just love it when a talk show host is so perfect that she never makes mistakes? Aha! Well, I do, and I did, and this was a day for it. Donna Sebo here, and telephone lines are open right now, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I've got some wonderful recipes that have come to my desk, and I want to be able to share those with you. So you may want to have a pad of paper and a pen handy so that you can write them down. And the one that I have been looking at is a fruity-spiced baklava. Now, I don't know about you, but baklava is a food that's absolutely delightful, to be able to have, and it is it's work. It really is work to do it. And I had a very dear friend that made baklava, and she would make pans and pans and pans of it. Oh, you never could eat just one piece. You had to have more than one piece. Well, what happened there is I realized it wasn't something I ever really wanted to tackle, but I came across this recipe called Fruity Spiced Baklava that really sounds absolutely wonderful. So when we come back from break, we'll be talking with Miles, and if we have the time, then I'm going to be sharing this with you. This is Donna Sebo, 888-815-9756. And I'm assuming that Don is not there at the engineering control, so we're just going to keep moving right along. Now, if you really want to do something that enables you to sort of get ahead in life, you know, we're in a time when a lot of people are concerned about what are they going to do? How are they going to handle things? Where are they going to put themselves? How are they going to be able to have clarity and feel like they're able to deal with the stresses in their environment? Well, I was talking with a friend not too long ago, and she was sitting at her desk at her office, and she was very, very depressed. She was depressed because she's a salesperson. It's on a commission basis. And she said, it's just been so tough in this economy. So what she found that she could do that really made her feel better was to go out during her lunchtime and take a walk. She said, it just really made all the difference in the world for me just to get outside, so that I get out of that oppressive thinking. Remember what I started the show off with today? The thinking process, the thinking pattern. Well, I want you to be aware that physical movement can really make a difference. And also, just if you can, if you've got a working environment, if you can take a little bit of time and sort of organize it for yourself so that when you are in that working environment, you don't feel like you're overwhelmed with clutter. That can really, really help you. And also, if you're on the job and sometimes you get frustrated with the people that are above you in position, maybe your boss, I had somebody make a suggestion saying, pay attention to what they do, how they are doing things. Do they like to correspond by email? Do they like voicemails? What is it that they appreciate when it comes to communication, trying to find out their communication mode? Those are just some tips that I wanted to share with you today. And we're going to be taking a break here. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Miles Schneider. And again, I apologize. This was my mistake, my error. And we're going to be chatting with him about how to be or not to be healthy. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious foods? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome. My guest, Mr. Miles Schneider, we're talking today about to be or not to be healthy. And this is a subject that I think is so important for all of us. The reason being, we have got such a mucky mess right now when it comes to health care and all the commotion we're listening to. But we really do need to pay attention to our health. And Miles Schneider is a doctor. He is the son of a doctor father and dietitian mother. He has had a 40-year career as a podiatrist. And he is so upfront with the fact that he really didn't think that it was that big a deal about maintaining wellness, and he didn't really understand what the truth was about it. So we're going to find out what he's learned and also what his recommendations are. Dr. Schneider, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
it's
you
a
for
delight.
Having me on.
Oh, it's just a delight. Now, your book, To Be or Not to Be Healthy, Simple Lifestyle Choices, we so often hear about choices, and there's hardly a day that goes by that we're not bombarded with something about there's a better diet here, you got this, you got that, you've got the other. Now, you have a very personal story relative to wellness. Tell us what it is.
Well, I am currently, I just turned 66 years young, but I was, when I got involved, well, what led to all this is I was 55 years old at the time, and I felt old. I had a lot of chronic musculoskeletal problem issues. I didn't have any serious disease like diabetes or high blood pressure, but I had chronic musculoskeletal problems, back and neck, legs. Something hurt all the time, and I attributed to a car accident I had when I was 21, where they didn't have seat belts and airbags in those days, so it was a head-on collision, and I sort of got hurt, obviously, at the time. And as the years went on, I had some athletic injuries and other injuries, and I just attributed to that's the way it is. You know, you had some injuries, and as you get older, as I had heard so many people tell me, you know, as you get older, your body starts falling apart. Well, you know, just expect it's just going to get worse. So I was a little depressed. Then a couple of friends of mine told me about some things that I had never paid any attention to that had nothing to do with my medical training and nothing to do with medicine. It had to do with getting proper sleep. It had to do with taking vitamins, which I never believed in. It had to do with making sure you drink a certain amount of water every day and, better yet, quality water. I had always exercised and I had watched my weight, but I didn't really pay attention to all the other things, including I was careful about what I ate, but I still ate bad foods here and there, but I wasn't overweight anymore. I was when I was a kid. And what happened to me was just pretty profound. I mean, things started to feel better, and my body started to get better. And what I realized is most people, I think like I thought, that there's not a lot you can do about it because the body's so complex that it takes somebody highly trained with a lot of intelligence to take care of it. And while to some extent that's true, the real thing is what the body really needs is what God put here anyway, was good clean food, good clean water, and regular exercise, some quality sleep, breathe fresh air if you can. You can certainly do it in your house, outside the house sometimes not easy, and try to handle stress as well as you can, and you'd be amazed at what your body can do, or how good it could feel if you tried something like this. So that's what compelled me to do this. That's why I wrote the book, and I actually took a few years, and it was first copyrighted a couple of years ago before all this health care reforms issues that are going on. And to me, it's really simple. It comes down to what you just said. I don't think there'd be a crisis if so many of us weren't getting sick. And we're getting sick not because of anything that most of us can avoid. 70% or more of illness is completely avoidable, including chronic illness, which is not me saying that, but it's very reputable sources that I quote in the book, and I can tell you some if you want, but most diseases are avoidable, and it's just about making good choices in how you live.
Well, there's been a big controversy, and I'll bring it up perhaps later on in our conversation, but I want to use some of the quotes out of your book here. You have a chapter, it's called The Bad News.
Right.
And you say, according to the World Health Organization, and this is a study from 2007, the top 10 countries with the highest male life expectancy at birth are San Marino, Australia, Iceland, Japan, Sweden, Switzerland, Canada, Israel, Italy, and Monaco. And the U.S. is number 33.
Correct.
That just is, you know, amazing. And we are ranked 45th in the world for combined male and female life expectancy. And it's just, you know, we're way down at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak.
And go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I just, you know, you hear these statistics, and yet we have people from around the world that will come to the United States because for healthcare or for emergency surgeries. We've got some of the finest people in the world here. But these are statistics. What are they using for these statistics? I mean, how are they getting these numbers?
Oh, I don't really know how they do that. I just took the study results. I don't really know much about how they did it other than life expectancy. They do several different categories, too. But I tell you, there are other groups and other organizations that have done studies, and we always come out poorly. One I know is the organization in the American States where there are 30 industrialized countries that were studied from a health standpoint, and we were the last in the health. We are the least healthiest of all 30 industrialized countries, and we spend over twice as much money per person on health every year. So no matter which study I've never seen a study that shows us anywhere where we should be, but I don't know how exactly they do all the studies, quite honestly.
Now, you bring up in your book your comments about the insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, and I know I've personally had very close friends and members of family that have needed medical treatment, and then they try to get their medications from Canada or from someplace else other than the United States because it's substantially less expensive. The people in the United States pay premium on everything, even though the very same medication may be just across the border. I'm here in the Pacific Northwest, and I know of families that will make special trips. They make arrangements. They go to Canada.
Yes.
And they get their stuff there. They might have to pay $12 for a pill here, and over there they pay $1.50 or something. So it's absolutely crazy what we're going through. You also talk about your fellow medical professionals. And that's usually a tough one, because that's not easy to talk about.
Yeah, well, it's hard for me, and not because I'm part of it. I don't, talking about what you just said, even I know all the different aspects of this problem, which is the pharmaceutical industry, the health insurance industry, doctors, then they talk about defensive medicine and malpractice and tort reforms, all these components of the problem. But see, I don't think doing something about this and cutting and holding spending makes sense, including from the healthcare doctor's standpoint. But in a lot of ways, we're tied up in a lot of ways. I mean, years ago, someone came in, for example, I'm a podiatrist, I do a lot of sports medicine over the years. Someone comes in with an Achilles problem years ago, you went with the examination, you did an evaluation, you did your treatment. These days, because we have ultrasound, because we have MRIs, there may be a tear that years ago we never knew about, but eventually got better because we couldn't even see it. These days, I'm sitting there saying, okay, if I don't do the test, then somebody has a tear, they can say I'm doing something wrong. And if I do the test, it costs $800 to whether it's the person or the insurance company. And I'm not even talking about life-threatening. This is just, an athletic injury. So that's part of the problem from the medical perspective. The other part is I quite frankly, and this is where I know I'm not sure I'm in a minority here, but I think our system gets rewarded if we treat somebody with a disease, both the patients, in my opinion, and the doctors. If you don't have a disease, you don't exactly necessarily get rewarded. I just turned 65 a year ago and received Medicare, and I went for my yearly physical like I've done all these years. I always go, and which is a prevention visit, hopefully in my opinion. And I was told because I was a Medicare, they won't pay it anymore unless something's wrong with me. And now I wasn't mad; I still got my exam, but I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Our system is a reactive one. We deal with disease. We don't deal with the other part, which is really the cause of the whole problem, in my opinion, anyway.
I like what you say also, that the ultimate responsibility is up to us. It really is. That we need to really be consciously attentive to how we are treating our bodies.
Absolutely. I had an example, just a friend of mine spoke to today, a friend of mine, and she said, I asked her, she was, well, I have my, every 3 months I get these terrible ear infections and skin problems. This has been going on for several years now, and now they're going to start doing all these tests, which God knows what it's going to cost. If you looked at her, you'd know what the problem is. She's probably at least 100 pounds overweight, and I'm not being critical of a particular group of people. Doesn't always have to be weight, but she's a very stressful job, doesn't exercise, doesn't eat well. I can't guarantee you, but I would be shocked if she didn't start eating better and losing some weight and taking better care of herself and exercising where this problem would even occur. Because if you don't do the right things, your body becomes acidic, your body's immune system gets beaten up, and then you're susceptible to diseases. I was listening to his story today, and it just, I'm sitting at the other end saying, oh God, you know, thousands of dollars in medical tests, and I don't know everything, and I know I'm just foot and ankle, so, you know, it comes in handy because sometimes I put my foot in my mouth, but I really believe that if she would just take better care of herself, she wouldn't be in the situation that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
And on all the costs involved, it's going to be involved now with the tests and the medications, and nothing seems to be working, and of course it's not working because her immune system is shot.
Well, these are issues that all of us at one time or another may deal with. And I know I have talked with some other physicians who have been guests on my show, and they said it usually took something because of all the training that they had gotten. And you guys spend years going to school, whether
right.
you're a foot doctor, whether you are a surgeon or whatever. We're not talking about 6 months and you're out. No, we're talking about years of education, and it's ongoing because there's always new things that you can learn, and it's pretty hard to keep up with everything. But I remember this one doctor saying, you couldn't have changed my mind about taking supplements. He said, I didn't believe in them. I didn't believe in any of this stuff until he actually had some life-threatening situations occur to him, and then it's all of a sudden like, wait a minute, this is happening to me, and this is a person that always had good health. Never, ever, hardly ever got sick. If he did, he'd get the sniffles, and that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it hit him, all of a sudden he was walking, you might say, in the shoes of experience that so many other people have gone through, and he goes, whoa, this is something different here.
Right.
And it just totally turned him around. In fact, he became more of an investigator. And now this is a man, a physician, who is trying to teach his colleagues what he's learned.
I think it's great. Well, it's unfortunate. That's what happened to me. I at the time, what I left out, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it to go back, but when I was having all my problems, I was actually working at that time in Chronic Pain Center, dealing with chronic pain patients, musculoskeletal problems all the
mm-hmm.
time as one of these staff people. And I can get treatment from anybody I wanted for free, and I still wasn't getting better. So that's when I reached the end of my line, and thank God some friend called me up and told me, why don't you try a different way of living? And I never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And that's why I got so interested. And to me, you said supplements, to me, is a key part of this whole thing. Actually, maybe one of the most, nutrition is the most important part, because I believe you are what you eat. I just don't think you can eat healthy in the world we live in today, and you have to supplement. But that would be a whole another topic.
In your book, To Be or Not to Be Healthy, you say there are six key lifestyle habits. What are they?
Well, it's good nutrition, healthy water, quality sleep, regular exercise, stress management, and clean air.
Mm-hmm.
Which the only one we probably can't control completely, stress is not always easy, and air outside your home is not going to be easy. Now, the air inside your home, believe it or not, is worse than the air outside your home, but at least you could control it with air systems or filtering or treatments, air treatment systems if you choose to.
You bring up with the nutrition aspect how important fats are. This is something, there is a myth out there that we should not have, but just a microscopic level of fat in the diet. And this is something I know that is not correct. And I can remember buying into the low-fat diet. But I'll tell you what, people that live in the northern climates that are in intense cold, and I know being up in Alaska, even though they may not be outside working as hard as their ancestors did in the past, fat is something that is necessary for the body to produce good cholesterol, to do all kinds of things for itself. And when you deprive it of that, you're going to have consequences. And you have quite a good section on fats and their value in your book.
Thank you. Well, I agree. Fats get a bad rap, so to speak. I mean, you just have to decide which ones you want to eat. That's the problem. People eat the wrong ones, but you need it to absorb vitamins A, D, and K. You need fat in your body. You also need it for backup energy source. It also helps to balance blood sugar cravings, too, if you eat the correct fat, amongst other things. But, yeah, it's all detailed in the book. And It is a problem. And look, omega-3 and 6-9 oils come from fats, and they're extremely healthy for you.
Now, you bring up something I don't hear about hear much about, and it's called irradiation. Now, the first time I heard about this was back in the late 70s, I believe it was. And this has been around for a while. Have you had exposures to food that's irradiated? I have not been aware of anything in my local grocery store with it. And why do you bring it up?
I bring it up only because I was trying to be as thorough as I could, and because I have a feeling some of that's going to start, maybe we're going to see more of it. Yeah, that's a good point. The answer to my specific case is I'm not sure I've had anything that's been irradiated, and it may be perfectly safe. I don't really know. I just don't think there's enough studies. But if it's completely irradiated, it's going to say Radura. It should say R-A-D-U-R-A on it. And it should say that it's been irradiated. But occasionally, they can use certain things, like if you had certain foods that have certain like spices that could have been irradiated, they don't have to say that. So, and technically, I might have eaten something. I don't know. And I don't know. I don't say it's bad because I just know about it's bad or I've seen studies. I just know how things get done sometimes, and I don't think things are always studied enough, and then we sort of get them, and then we find out too late that there's a problem. And that's a topic I know as a doctor. I mean, one of the things I've seen, and all of us have seen, is how we always talk that everyone wants to see medical studies on different things, and then you go take a drug that's been on the market for years, and all of a sudden it finds out it's hurting people, and mm-hmm. suppose they did enough studies. So I would be careful about that. It should be marked if it's been the major food source in whatever you're eating has been irradiated.
Now, you have a number of sections in your book that are very informative. One is for those of you that are strong believers in supplements and you want to find out whether or not the company that's producing the supplements are actually making what they're supposed to be making. You have some good information here with research on supplements and how to do that. But I also want to address something in your book called quality sleep. I think so many people, and I plead guilty to this myself at times, we don't really pay attention to that. We don't put ourselves to bed when we should go to bed.
I agree. That was one of the areas I was very weak in, and I didn't, you know, I wanted to get 20 hours out of every day, but unfortunately it catches up to you. Yeah, the ideal situation is you should pretty much go to sleep the same time every day and wake up the same time the next day. Now, in our society, that sure is not very easy to do, and certainly in certain ages when going to college and younger, you may have studying and other things, but as adults, too, we get carried away, and then you want to watch TV, and you have to get up early to go to maybe take the kids and get them ready, and you lose out on sleep, and I think that's a major cause of a lot of illness. It happens to also be a contributing factor to people overweight. Not because they sleep too much or whatever because they're not exercising. We're talking about not sleeping enough because there's a hormone called leptin that they've studied that is secreted when you sleep, and it tells you that you've eaten enough. And if you don't get enough sleep, the levels don't get high enough, then you're going to be craving for food.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't shut the brain off. So there are a lot of things about sleep I didn't know before. But one of them is you want to be on schedule, want it to be dark, quiet, and there are sleep pads or mattresses you can get that actually can help calm you and help make it easier for you to fall asleep, actually.
I agree. Now, you have some good comments also regarding stress. You go into error filtering systems, being able to work with that. And I think that in your final chapter, you want to bring it all together. You call it the wellness continuum.
Right.
What is the wellness continuum?
Well, it's a self-measurable guide as to figure out where you are as far as your health is concerned and sort of where you want to go. Now, in thinking about it since I wrote it, I realized, and when even after I wrote it, where everyone wants to go, as far as I'm concerned, should be the same place, but it would be different for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what you want to do is be able to give each cell in your body everything they need all the time, or as much as you can, so you can be as healthy as you can. But where you are, you want to know where you are, so you know which area you want to start with, especially if you have economic concerns. So So whether or not nutrition is your biggest weakness, or air, or water, or sleep, or stress, there's a questionnaire at the back of each of the chapters on those sections, and if you answer them, there's a score, and it'll tell you if you're doing well, poor, or excellent. So you know where you'd have to start. And the Wellness Continuum has an example of a woman who has problems in all six areas, and we go through week by week over 24 weeks how she turns her health around just simply by making small steps, not big steps, along the way. And she's not done after the 6 months that we deal with, because I believe you do things too quickly. First of all, it's very difficult to keep it up. And second of all, I don't think it's necessarily healthy for a body to make drastic changes all at once, especially when you're talking about nutrition and water and sleep. Some of them may be great, but maybe too much for the body. It's not that you're going to, you know, something awful might happen, but you might get sick and you might break down and you're going to say this isn't working, and so you quit. So that's what the Wellness Continuum shows you how to exactly do it, shows you how to figure out where you are, and shows you sort of how far you have to go and where you have to go to get there.
The Wellness Evolution. And you bring up the mention of a movie that I've seen, V for Vendetta. It was made in 2005. It is an awesome, awesome movie. If any of you have a chance to watch it, you should. And you summarize it by saying the hero mails masks to all the people of London, which gives them the courage to rise up against a totalitarian regime and start a revolution. Every individual, when given the opportunity to support a change for the better, did just that, even in the face of personal harm. Now, that's your first paragraph on this wellness revolution or evolution that you talked about. And I thought that it's really a good example. And there are a lot of people that are standing up, expressing concern, really wanting to say no to a lot of the things that are on the political platter of particular persons that haven't a clue. They don't even have to deal with this stuff. They don't have an involvement like the average person does.
Right.
And so we're looking at this. What are your thoughts about this?
The thoughts are the whole concept of that particular chapter, and actually that ties in the whole book with you started out talking at the beginning. I believe you led into it, was I believe that the major cause of the problem is we're just too many of us are getting sicker and sicker and younger ages, and we continue to put our health in the hands of other people, whether it's doctors, insurance companies, pharmaceuticals. While I'm not talking about a revolution, that's why I said the word evolution, we have to more, and I think this new debate, in some ways, the positive part of it is we have to start standing up and saying, well, you know, what we've been doing for X amount of years is not working, because we have spent all this money, we have all the best trained doctors, and we're the sickest country in the Western, as far as all the industrialized countries, and there were third world countries that some people have lived longer than us, and children have a less infant mortality rate than us. Something is not working when it comes to everyday living. And maybe we should start looking in that direction. Maybe we should be incentivized and supported by the healthcare system and the government to try to live a more proactive preventive lifestyle as opposed to a reactive one. And if enough people talked about it, then maybe they would have to change the different industries involved, i.e. the food, the health, the pharmaceutical, and the health insurance industries would have to change, because they're going to give us what we want. Right now, I don't think we want the right thing, or we're not giving them the right message, and only we can change it. Only each one of us all together can change it.
I think that if we became proactive with our own health, and if we expected our physicians and the medical industry and the insurance industry to make their shift towards encouraging people to do that, then I really think that it would make a big difference. I think premiums would come down. I think it would be affordable. But we have created a culture, like you have mentioned. Somebody else has got to take care of me. And I was at a luncheon meeting today, and someone made that comment. They said, we're really going downhill. We have this culture environment that is, gee whiz, I can't be responsible. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. And it didn't used to be that way. It wasn't that way from what I've had in conversations with people after World War II. And I'm not saying that there aren't people that don't get sick, but there's a lot of things we really need to hold an accountability for. If we find something that is not working, then it's not you. And I think the various environments have to be held accountable. And nobody's being held accountable. It's like pass the buck time, big time.
I agree. And no matter what reform's going to be passed, if it is the way they're going, I don't see how putting more and more billions and billions of dollars, no matter where they think they're going to get it from, even if they could get it, even if there was no problem with the money, how's it going to work? If more and more people are getting sicker and sicker and younger and younger ages, this is not going to work. The system's still going to be overloaded. There's not going to be enough time to see everybody. There's not going to be, now they're going to cut back on services to save money. And it's amazing to me. I don't think they've really defined the cause of it. It's the way we deal with medicine, like I said, is usually it's a reactive system. And the way we're dealing with in my opinion, the way they're going about the reform, no matter which side you look at, to most extent has to do with not really getting to the core of the problem. And the core of the problem is this, I go back to it all the time because I think it is the only solution, is what you said. We have to start owning responsibility and we have to act accordingly and focus on making healthier lifestyle choices so the amount of disease goes down. Therefore, there's not going to be more need for pills as much, need for doctor's visits, need for all the technology, and the cost has got to go down.
Well, I think there are so many things in our environment that we are finding that we need to hold people accountable for, no matter where it comes in from. They should be held accountable. The standards for excellence should be across the whole line. And it's like I was reading something not too long ago, and you bring up this about homes. I mean, there was, the inside boards in houses, what do I want to call it? It's the whiteboard that goes up. That is the wall covering. They found that this had been made with chemicals instead of being done the way it was supposed to, and it came from overseas.
Yeah.
And it's toxic, and people were getting sick. I've talked with people that have gone into brand new homes, and this was in Colorado and California and places you would never imagine this would happen. And they say the houses are loaded with mold. Why? Because of the way that they were built and the products that were used. We have all of these modalities, and I think that as we become more consciously aware and as the consumer becomes more consciously aware, the consumer walks with their wallet. They say, thank you, but I'm not going to do this. I'm just not going to do it. And that is where I think innovation comes in. And when people can be consciously aware, it's like people going into doctors and saying, sorry, doc, I was reading a case of a woman this morning, and she had a doctor that was being very flippant about how she was feeling and what could be done. And she said, thank you very much, but you're not touching me. I'm not going to talk with a physician that is not going to understand and be willing to listen to what I'm saying and isn't going to make wisecrack jokes treating me like I'm a 2-year-old child. I'm going through this pain and suffering. Don't talk to me this way. And so she went and got herself another doctor. Now, I know of people who wouldn't do that in a million years.
Right. You're right. You're absolutely correct. But times are changing because if there's one thing I would note from when I got into practice to now, people question things a lot more than they should. They
yes,
definitely,
they do.
They don't just, in the old days, you can say whatever you wanted, whether you're right or wrong, and they would listen. And you can, now, they are most times, and I think it's great, they want to know why, what can happen to me, and they should. And they should get opinions. And they shouldn't just listen, especially if it's a serious problem. They should think, see if there's a different way or a different idea or... And if certainly the most important thing, you can't talk to the healthcare person. That's the problem right off the bat. You have to be able to communicate.
Dr. Schneider, we're out of time. This has been an absolute delight. Thank you for being with me today. I need to know your website quickly because we're going to be going off air in just a few seconds here. What's your website?
Miles, M-Y-L-E-S of health.com. And thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. It has been a delight having you as a guest. Check his book out, To Be or Not to Be Healthy. For most of us, this is a choice. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous weekend. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Be safe. Be well. Be happy. We'll talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.